thanks for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
And it's not escapism, it's not delusional, it's actually truth. When we repeat and when we know God's word, when we understand God's word, when we receive it, and when we speak it out, when it becomes part of us, it becomes truly the transformational truth that God has always intended it to be. Well, the last few weeks we've been looking at the Lord's Prayer, and this morning what I want to do is go to Psalm 46. Psalm 46 this morning, because after looking at the Lord's Prayer for so many weeks, you have to conclude that prayer really does change things and change people, most of all. And if you've been following the Lord's Prayer over the last weeks and asking God to speak to you through His Word and being changed by the truth of what Jesus taught us, then we'll understand, maybe in a deeper way, hopefully, that this relationship that God has brought us into is a relationship that is that God causes us to be inspired to be confident. To be confident in Him, to be confident in who He is, to be confident in what He is doing. No matter what the circumstances, no matter what the situation, if we truly pray, "Our Father, hallowed be Your name, Your kingdom come, Your will be done," truly, then, wow, the confidence that comes, the faith that comes, the security that comes through knowing God is so good. Psalm 46 from verse 1. In fact, we're going to start before verse 1 because it says, "To the choir master of the sons of Korah." I'm not sure what Korah means. Maybe it means beach. And maybe these were the original Beach Boys. I don't know. But the sons of Korah were men who were musical, they were talented in that way. They wrote psalms, they played psalms, of course, as well. And it is to the choir master of the sons of Korah, according to Alamoth, a song. This is a song to be sung. And it starts in verse 1 like this. God is... Might be better if we sung it, but we'll refrain from doing that. But God is. What a great way to start anything. God is. And how we finish that phrase will show and define and reveal everything that we think about this world and about our life and about our present and about our past and about our future. Because how we see God and how we understand God and how we relate to God will shape us in such a way that we will be different. How you finish that phrase, "God is," will determine your eternal future. Not only our present, but our future also. God is our refuge and strength. A very present help in trouble. Therefore, you see, a statement like that always has to have a therefore. It's not just these majestic, glorious statements about God are not just detached and high up on the top shelf of our existence in our lives. They have a real grounding. They have a real application in the here and now of the nitty-gritty and the dust and the grime of life. God is. He's our refuge, our strength, presently helpful in any trouble and in every trouble. Therefore, we we will not fear. Though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. Selah. What does that mean? Selah. Some people say it's like, it means kind of stop and think about it. It's, we don't know exactly what it means. Some people think it's a musical term that means just that. They've just sung this refrain, and maybe it's an opportunity for a wee guitar solo, a wee instrumental. Thinking about guitar solos, maybe, William, if you could just come and just... But Selah, you see, it's a time, it's an opportunity to stop and think about what they have just sung, what they have just read, what they have just heard, what they have just spoken and sung out. Isn't that what we need to do more and more in these days? To stop and think about it. Especially in relation to what God has said. Stop and think about what He is saying. We live in an age where there is distractions have multiplied to their multiple millions, it seems. There's so many distractions. We're so busy. We have so many time-saving devices. And yet we're running about daft. What is happening? And this whole thing of just stopping, slowing down, put the brakes on, close the door. That's why it says in the Lord's Prayer, this is what you should do. This is how you should pray. And this is what you should do when you pray like this. Go somewhere and close the door. Close the door on the world that wants to rampage through your brain and through your emotions. Close the door on everything that would seek to dismay you or destroy you. Close the door on that. And as we close the door to the world, we're opening up the door to heaven. We're opening up a whole new world that so many of us pass by so quickly because we're in such a hurry and because we are so busy that we don't have time to stop and think about it and to stop and to truly think about what God has said, or even about what we have sung. You know, someone has said Christians don't tell lies so much as sing lies. There's that hymn, I don't know the whole verse, but it comes to mind. It talks about sin, it talks about long ago I gave them up, and instantly. Remember that? What is that hymn? All my burdens rolled away, yeah. So all my sin, and I gave them up, and all my sin gave up, and instantly. Aye, right. Come on. We gave them up, and instantly? Well, why do we need this? Oh, we sing so much that we don't sing in a thoughtful way. So God's word, this word, Selah, stop and think about it. There is a river, verse 4, whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation, hallelujah, of the Most High. God is in her midst, the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage. The kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Selah. Stop and think about that for a minute. Stop and think about what God is saying. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes wars to cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Selah, stop and think about that. Do you ever get a ready-made sandwich and open it up and look through it and pick out all the bits and pieces you don't like? Raw onions. Or tomato, you might not like, or scallion, what scallion is, or whatever it may be. You leave in the bits that you like and you close it up and you start munching. Great. Or better still, you go to Subway. Other sandwich sellers are available. So you go to Subway, and you can pick exactly what you want to be in your sandwich. And this is important, what's not going to be in your sandwich. And I think going to Subway is great because it's not only picking what you want, it's leaving out what you most absolutely certainly don't want to be in your sandwich. And that's almost as much fun as picking what you want. No olives. Yeah? No raw onions. And no nasty surprises because you have chosen. Now, wouldn't it be wonderful if life was just like that? Wouldn't it be great if life was just like going to Subway? Picking those wonderful things that you would want, leaving out all the nasties and no room for surprises that you're not expecting and so on. But unfortunately, life's not like that. Life is more like a sandwich we get handed to us at our posh auntie's house as a kid. And you don't dare open it up and pick out the bad bits. And woe betide you if you don't eat it all up. Raw onions as well. Why am I saying all this? Because Psalm 47, this familiar psalm, in many ways is like a snapshot of life with joy, with trouble, and with everything else in between. But I wonder if you've noticed something else. That in all the life experiences that the sons of Korah describe for us, contained here, sandwiched here, if you like, between two faith-inspiring references to God. Verse 1, God is. He's our refuge and he's our strength, a very present help in trouble. And verse 10 and 11, be still and know that I am God. I'll be exalted. The God of Jacob is our fortress. God is. I am God. Everything in between those two verses is seen in terms of God being God. Everything must be understood in terms of God being God and being who He is. God is the beginning and the end. He is the Alpha and He is the Omega. And I would propose to you this morning that nothing makes sense when God is not seen to be God. Nothing. You know, President Trump described the act of terrorism or whatever it was in Las Vegas as pure evil. Evil is a theological term. It's a biblical term. In fact, it's a word that many people don't use these days deliberately because of that. There's no other way you can describe such acts as other than evil. Because you see, to introduce the word evil into a situation is to say that there is a higher moral power. There are absolutes. There is right and wrong. You see, at the end of the day, this world is pulling itself apart to deconstruct God, to deconstruct and dismiss the truth of God. And what they end up with is a mishmash of absolute chaos, where they can't describe such acts as being evil, for that would usher in the possibility that there is a higher moral power, and that would even point to the existence of God, who is the ultimate judge. So nothing makes sense when God is not seen to be God. Everything is seen as an opportunity for dread and fear when God is not seen to be God. Men's hearts fail for fear when God is not seen to be God. The love of many grow cold when God is not seen to be God. And here we see it in verse 2, a description even of our present time. It's there. Though the earth gives way, they say, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, the waters roar and foam, and the mountains tremble with its swelling. Wow! These are cataclysmic events. Turmoil. Chaos. Unpredictability. Unnatural events that shake the very foundations of our world, and not only of our world, but even down to very personal experiences in our lives. When the earth gives way, when the very foundation that you are walking on in your life begins to crumble and fall away, and the mountains, those things that have stood firm for centuries, they're moving. They're falling. Nothing seems to be stable. Nothing seems to be reliable anymore. We can't even call a boy and a girl anymore. We can't say that marriage is between one man and one woman anymore. The social fabric, even, of our world giving way, falling aside, crumpling. Isaiah 57, verse 20 says this: but the wicked are like the tossing sea, for it cannot be quiet, and its waters toss up mire and dirt. You see the picture that Isaiah's showing us there? This world is like a sea, and the storms come. It's never quiet. There's always something happening, and when it churns up from the depths, up come all sorts of horrible dirt, mire and muck. We see it in our TV screens, and we see it in the news, in our newspapers, day by day, week by week, and we think, what on earth? What else is going to be churned up from the depths of the evil of the human heart? Jesus spoke of this as he spoke about the last days. He says in Matthew 24 from verse 6 to 14, "And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not alarmed," speaking to his people. "See that you're not alarmed, for this must take place." It has to take place, people. "But the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and earthquakes in various places. And these are but the beginning of birth pangs. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation, you, and put you to death. And you will be hated by all nations for my sake. And then many will fall away." The heat becomes so intense. The turmoil becomes so troubling. And many will think it's no longer worth following this God because of this tribulation. And many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another. And many false prophets will arise and lead many astray. And because of lawlessness, because of all these things, lawlessness will be increased. And the love of many will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed through the whole world as a testimony to all nations. And then the end will come. So how did we get from Subway to the end of the world? Folks, we can't pick and choose. We are followers of Christ. Come what may. We will go through difficulties and trials. We will experience, even as Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, when he spoke of two foundations, one solid rock, one sand. And one guy built his house on the sand, the other built his house on the rock. Both experienced the storm. Both were under the torment and the winds and the storm that rose. Both experienced it. And only one stood. The guy who built his house on the rock. And Jesus says this is the guy who puts into practice and believes and who understands the truth of my word. Notice what Jesus says when all of this is happening and trouble is coming, tribulation and persecution and all the rest of it. The gospel of the kingdom is being proclaimed. Even in the midst of that, these are not shallow believers. These are not fair weather faith people. These are people who have roots in Christ and who say, come what may, whether I live or whether I die, I am His. Whether I have a wonderful life or whether I go through tribulation, I am His. I love Him no matter what. No matter what the Lord will allow me to go through or plan for us to go through, we are His. And when He has tried me, I'll come forth as gold. The darkness is getting darker. But that's an opportunity, is it not? It's an opportunity for those who have the light to let it shine, to be even more blazon and brazen about our faith. So as the darkness comes, surely the light is to shine even clearer and even more powerfully. Notice in this psalm, the greatest joy and the most comforting and reassuring statement in all of this psalm is not about us. There are many things that are fantastically comforting and reassuring about us in this psalm. That God is our refuge. He is our strength. He's right there with us. He is our fortress. He's in the midst of us. All those things are fantastic. But it's not the best. The most wonderful thing of all that I see in this psalm is found in verse 10. Where God says, I will be exalted among the nations. I'll be exalted in the earth. Does that not make your heart dance, skip, even half a smile? To know that in the midst of trouble and darkness, and some of us, even as Christians, can be such experts in the darkness, such experts about what all the bad things are happening and how awful things are, and we can talk about it and no, let's not put our head in the sand and let's be aware. Things are not good. We can be such an expert at the darkness and what is happening and be completely ignorant that God is going to be and is being exalted, lifted up, recognized for being the God that He is. And if that doesn't put a spring in our step, take your pulse, if you have one. So in the midst of turmoil on land and on sea, geological events, political events, personal circumstances, turmoil, chaos, confusion, be assured, people of God, that God will be exalted. He'll be seen to be God. That for me is the greatest comfort. And whatever I will go through in my life, and for you too, whatever you go through in your life, know this, no matter what it is, if it's joy, if it's turmoil, if it's pain, if it's difficulty, if it's grief, if it's loss, if it's joy, if it's full satisfaction, all of this, all of our lives is for one supreme purpose and one supreme purpose alone. That He gets all the glory. All the glory. Stephen, the first martyr, he died. The stones were heavy upon him. He felt the pain. But his death, in his death, he gave glory to God. He wasn't mourning. He wasn't groaning. He wasn't dissatisfied with the fact that God didn't deflect these rocks from him, put an angel around him. He wasn't disillusioned by the glory of God, The Bible says that he saw. And his face was radiant like that of an angel. Folks, how deep is our faith really? How deep is it? Is it turmoil deep? Is it tribulation deep? Is it disappointment deep? Is it nations are in uproar deep? Kingdoms totter deep? Folks, nations are in uproar. Kingdoms do totter. But God still speaks. God still speaks. And in this sandwich of Psalm 46, we get to the end. And it just reinforces what the word Selah means. For it says in verse 10, be still. Not the most difficult thing to do, to be still. Not just inactivity, not just assuming the lotus position and going or whatever, but to be still. Psalm 23 is wonderful, isn't it? The Lord is my shepherd. There's one little word in there that I love. And it's the word makes. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. The fact is, if he didn't make us to lie down in green pastures, to have our soul restored, if he didn't make us to be beside the still waters, we would never go there. We'd never go there. We would never be still, because it is within us to be active and to be wanting to do stuff and this and that and the other. This week, you know, the just out the back garden in our house, the nuts are out. Not speaking about our kids, but the nuts on the trees. All right. This wee squirrel lives in the trees. He's brilliant. And we just see him. Most like this time of year he comes. And boy, he's fast. He's active. He's like, you know, just like Rhonda. And we're looking out the window, and there he was. Said, Rhonda, that's you. That is you right there, isn't it? Rhonda the grey squirrel. Even with a twitch as well. You know, people that get the twitch. Oh, forgot about that. Oh, I need to do that. Oh, I need to go. Oh, they forget so much. Our minds are filled with doing so much, and yes, we should be active about the Lord's business, of course. But there is this fretting within our soul, this lack of stillness, this, you know, the accelerator's pull down, but the clutch isn't quite engaged yet. Kind of life. And God says, see, in the midst of all this, earth giving way, mountains falling, nationally, politically, personally, be still. Be still. Be still and know something. Know this. I'm still God. I'm not sure if we get this. I'm not sure if I get this. Verse 2. Therefore we will not fear. Now really, if the earth did give way, would you get a wee bit of a fright? If the mountains were moved into the heart of the sea, would you kind of maybe think, oh, did you see that on the news today? If all the mountains in the world did begin to shake and tremble, would you think, ach, well, that's Psalm 46. Or would we be tempted to think, oh dear, I'm quite afraid. I'm fearful. What's going to happen? What are we coming to? God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Folks, let me finish this up this morning. Be assured that no matter what you are going through personally, family members are going through, nations are going through, political upheaval, be assured that God will be exalted. He's the beginning and He is the end. I am the Alpha and I'm the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and was and is to come. Revelation 21:5, and He who was seated on the throne said, behold, I am making all things new. And He said, write this down, for these things are trustworthy and they are true. Behold, I am coming soon, bringing my recompense with me to repay each one for what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. I am Psalm 46, verse 1. I am Psalm 46, verse 11. The beginning and the end, He is God. Let's pray, shall we? Lord, we thank You truly this morning that we have found our security in You, that You are the rock of our salvation. Lead us to the rock that is higher than us, Lord. Lead us to that place of safety and security and the knowledge that You are God. Even though this world may seem out of control, even though our lives at times may seem out of control, You are God. And You'll be exalted. And You'll have glory. And You'll have honor. Because, Lord, Yours is the power and the glory and the kingdom forever and forever. Lord, lead us. Bless us as Your people. Strengthen us in these days. Help us, Lord, to hold out the very word of life to those whose hearts are failing them for fear. To be Your witnesses. To be assured that we're on the rock and that we'd reach out our hands to others who are sinking, to rescue them, to lift them, to help them to see that there is a rock in the turmoil of this age. Be still and know that He is God, and that He will be exalted. He will be glorified in your life and in my life, no matter what may come. Amen.
And your love is great.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyeland.com. To trust what you